I believe we've come a long way, and I believe we got a ways to go. How many of you know that? I mean, the farther you get, the farther you realize you have to go. Yeah, I'm 4.5 weeks into a fast. You would think I'd be almost there. And all you know is that you've been messing up a lot more than you thought you were. It's like, oh. What do they say? Ignorance is bliss? There's some truth to that, isn't there? We could just go to happy-go-lucky church and be all fine. Nobody wouldn't be a problem. But then you get into these churches where the Holy Ghost convicts you every single time you get in His presence. What are you going to do? Keep going. At some point, you'll be dead enough and it won't matter anymore. You know, you got a person in a casket. They don't care if you're poking them or moving their arms around, whooping their face around. They don't care. They're dead. You float them down the river, they don't care. They're dead. Well, that's you. Eventually, when God gets done with you, you won't care. Somebody comes up to you at work and yells at you, and you're like, you're yelling at a dead person. You ever go to a funeral and yell at the person? I hate you. I hate what you did to me. They don't care. My flight instructor. Here we go again. My flight instructor, he was talking about some lady who was just so scared and paranoid. She was up in the sky, and he says, you know, he's flying where he says, what is your problem? You know, why are you even doing this if you're so freaked out? And she says, he finally gets her to confess what she's scared about. She says, what happens if you have a heart attack? Because then she's up in the air. You know, right now she's relying on him that if, you know, I make a mistake, he's going to get her down. What happens if he has a heart attack? You know what he said? He said, I don't care at that point because I'm gone. But he said, what you need to do is key the mic, you know, and talk to control and, you know, push the autopilot. And even in those little planes, they have autopilots now. But he said, you know, it was just hilarious. I won't care at that point. Crash the plane. It doesn't matter. At some point, you don't care. That's next week's message. Well, let's just go on to the week after that then. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. All right. Did you read that? Taking your place in the Holy Ghost society. That sounds strange, brother. But it's not, and I'll show you that this is where we're all going. Remember we talked about Enoch, and his name means to be initiated. Right? And we went through the process of initiation, and some of it was good, and some of it was hard. And you end up as one hung by a rope, right? Remember that? Or throttled to the point of like someone who has been hung by a rope. That means the end of you. You've come to the end of you. I think sometimes God's just trying to get people there, to get them to go to the end of themselves so they can trust in Him. Paul even said that. He said, we're always brought to the point of death so that we don't trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. So if you're always at the point of death, well, your trust is where? Medical science? No, they don't know what they're doing anyway. They're practicing. You don't practice something you know what to do. You know what to do. Well, let me lay hands on you and get you up. That's what you do. They don't know that. They should know that. No, we'll just cut it out. And a brain infection, we'll just cut the brain out. There, that'll fix you. No, they don't know what they're doing. Sorry. God does. Where'd that come from? Hallelujah. Taking your place in the Holy Ghost society. You know, I've got a job here, and that's to get you to take your place in this society. It's a Holy Ghost society. It's almost like a secret society. And I'm going to put the definition of society up a little later on the board, and I actually printed some out so you'll be able to see this word for word. Hallelujah. It's exciting. I'm excited about it. Trying to feel you out here, because I'm going to whip you with a whole bunch of stuff today. You know, I'm trying to see, you going to be able to take this? You're still smiling, so all right, we're getting there. Well, turn over to Hebrews chapter 11, 5 and 6, and we'll get started here. Hebrews chapter 11, 5 and 6. You should know these verses by now, but we're going to pray because there's stuff in here we don't know about. Do you know that?
Yes. Well, I know John 3:16.
Well, there's more in there that you don't know. But there is stuff in Scripture we don't even know. How many of you read a Scripture? I've read it 100 times, and all of a sudden, boom, it explodes in your face. You go, I never saw that before. I've read my Bible through every year for 45 years, and I never saw that verse of Scripture. All right, you ready? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your precious, holy, written word. We receive your word as a precious substance down into our spirits this morning, and we are changed by it. We love it, Father. We're corrected by your word. We're instructed by your word and your Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for doing your work this morning. I ask you to bless these people and bring them up into a greater place where they've never even thought they could be before. I'm asking you to establish them there and remove all of those things that would hinder them in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. What was his testimony? That he pleased God. So obviously, and we went on at length. I said it was the most important thing you'd ever heard. Is to have your testimony pleasing God, which is you must be saying what he said. That's how can two walk together except they be agreed. You must be saying out your mouth what he says. He is the word of God. God is the word. And when you say what he says, you're in agreement with him. He is the word. Now you're saying the word. You're walking with God. It's that simple. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now listen up. Diligently seeking him. He rewards those who diligently seek him. He says if you pray diligently, you will find. You seek, you find. You diligently seek, you find. Fasting is another way to diligently seek. Isn't it amazing that the thing that got Adam into trouble, eating, is one of the ways that can put us back in there? Not eating. Just do the opposite of what you did wrong. You yelled at somebody and that was wrong. Well, don't yell at them. Apologize. That's the opposite. And next time, don't yell. Many times, just go in 180 degrees opposite. That's called repentance. And sometimes that's no fun, but we get to do it because we do what God tells us to do. That's the first thing he tells you to do, is repent. I'd like to be one of those repentance preachers. Just get in people's face and tell them, repent! Hellfire and brimstone. Repent, glory be to God forever. Jesus is Lord. All right. Enoch was translated. Now, do you know what that means? He was changed. So that goes from glory to glory. You understand? Yes. Right? He didn't just get translated. I think we misinterpret that because we see it in the book of Genesis where it just says Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. It looked like he was just one day. He was walking with God and God took him. Well, there was 300 years of walking with God who is the Word, with God who is a Spirit. The more that we know him, the more we can walk with him. 300 years. And then God took him because his testimony pleased him. All right? This is where we're going. I've gone on at length telling you that you are the last day church. Enoch prophesied the end from the beginning. His life was a prophecy. He was taken. You're going to be taken. You're learning how to walk with God and be translated, and you'll be taken. Now, Enoch wasn't just taken once, he was taken many times. And we've been there. Most of us have been taken into the Spirit, whether we knew it or not. What do you mean, whether you know it or not? Paul said that. He said, I know a man in Christ, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. I don't know what was going on, but he was taken up to the third heaven. And sometimes that's the way it is. Something happened. I don't know what happened, but I'm back now. And you're there and you can describe something you saw, something you heard, going into the Spirit. This is going to get really thick, so if you're turned off now, wait till about 10 minutes from now. Where do you think Enoch lived and walked and worked and spoke and did things? In the Spirit. God is a Spirit. He walked with God. Right? Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Initiate. Remember the initiation. I handed this out. Enoch's name is to initiate, to enter or begin or to go. His name, it means to instruct in the rudiments or principles, mysteries of something. To introduce into a new state or society, as to initiate one into a club. You're being initiated into a club. Did you know that? You're being initiated into a new society. The Bible talks about the kingdom of heaven. You ever heard of that before?
Well, that's a lovely thing to say. The kingdom of heaven. Isn't that nice?
No, it's a kingdom. Where are you supposed to live? In this kingdom. Where is your citizenship? And we'll get into this. It's in this kingdom. This other place you're living right now, come on, it pales in comparison. And if you don't learn how to be initiated and work in this kingdom, then you really aren't that much of a benefit to the kingdom, are you? Don't you want to be a real benefit to this kingdom? You want to be like the governor of one of the states of the kingdom of heaven. The governor. I don't know, I like saying that way. All right, people. To introduce into a new state or society, you're starting to get this? You're being introduced into something. We've gone through what? Salvation. You can't see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. And then you're initiated through baptism into some of the rites and principles of this body of Christ. You're placed in the body of Christ. Then you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. All of these are initiation processes. And then, woe unto you, the baptism of death comes next. Then when you go through that, which is no fun ever for anybody, through the baptism of death, that was a good one, wasn't it? Then what are you after you've passed through the baptism of death? You're the living dead, but you're still dead to this world. But you're alive unto God. That's where your life is. That's how you think. That's how you talk. That's what you say. That's what you do. That's what you do with your money. That's what you do with your time. Well, why don't you do what everybody else does? Because I'm dead to that. I'm alive to this. I seek those things which are above, and people think you're weird because you are. You're not like the zombie. No, you're full of God at that point, not you. Which is better, you or God? Right. So if there's anything left kicking in you, get rid of it. Put another bullet in that thing. Push it down. I was doing that last night. You know, I wanted to eat something. You ever want to eat something? What did you tell your stupid body? Shut up. And you have to do that sometimes. Who's going to rule the roost here? My flesh? Just let it go and do whatever it wants to do? Or you just tell it to, that's enough. Quiet down. You're dead anyway. Glory be to God. So, Jesus is Lord. To instruct, to acquaint with, and to initiate into the higher branches of something. It means initiate, that's Enoch's name. That's what God was doing to him for 300 years. That's a long initiation. But he passed because his testimony pleased God, and he was taken. You starting to get it? This is exciting. But it probably means you got to go through some more initiations. You're being instructed in the higher branches. You're being acquainted with something. You're learning how to do things differently in the spirit. It's opposite of the, in the world, you learn to work harder to make more money. What is it in the kingdom of God? It's the opposite. You learn to give more so that more things come to you. So you can give more. This is the way it works. It's weird. According to the world, but we're initiated into a new thing. This is why nobody knew what Jesus was talking about. They thought he's either a lunatic or he's really smart. But we don't know what to say about him, so we'll just leave him alone. Except for the Pharisees who killed him. But then he rose from the dead. So who won that? It's not over till it's over. All right, turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, people, this is going to get really good today, and I'm excited about it. You should be excited about it. You've come a long way. I wouldn't be able to share these things with... You know, I was at Rhema for a while, or Kenneth Hagin School, and there would be things that he would say. He would say, I have stuff I can't share with anybody because they're not ready for it. Paul had to be the same way. I have things I can share. But you're not ready for it. I'll blow you right away. I'll share one thing. I was in New York. We were watching him live on TV. Satellite, back in the old... Remember the big satellite dishes? This is when it first came out. And then, you know, they would have a live feed from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And they were there. Kenneth Hagin's walking back and forth on the platform there, and he's kind of arguing with Jesus, saying, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. And he said, okay. And he turned around. Now, you can take this for whatever you want. You know, all right, take this if you want it, take it. If not, you know, just mark it off as me being weird. I'm in New York, okay, standing there enjoying this. We're all praising God because the band is playing, you know, and we're worshiping God, maybe eight people in a room. We'd all gathered together to be a part of this. Kenneth Hagin's walking back and forth. Frank Adobota, the man was given, and he goes, okay. And he took one step this way. And I'm not lying to you. He was on the inside of me. His spirit man stepped right in. Freaked me right out. I'm telling you, freaked me completely out. I'm like, you know. And he turns around, he says, I know, I'm telling you, I didn't want to do that. I said, they're not going to understand. They're not going to understand. And I'm like, that's pretty weird, isn't it? Now you're going to have to listen to the message. If you cut this message off, people at home or whatever, listen to this CD and they cut it off, they're going to go, what was I listening to? But you'll understand in a minute. There is a society in the spirit where people exist and live. Do you remember Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration? Jesus stepped into the Spirit. Where were they? They were right there. You think they're gone? You think Moses and Elijah and Noah and all these, they just died. They're dead. Their body died, but they're alive. They still exist. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jesus was saying stuff like this to the people, and they just, whoop. They had no idea. What is he talking about? I'm telling you, there is a kingdom and a society in the light. In the light. Real people living there, and you live there. You just don't know it.
Are you talking about communicating with the dead, brother?
No. I'm talking about the society of the kingdom of God. It's real. This is where you live. It's what you're a part of. And the sooner we're initiated into that and know how to function and work and do and move, the farther up we can go in society. You want to be a street sweeper in the kingdom of heaven? Or do you want to be somebody who's somebody?
I want to be somebody.
I have a dream. All right. Glory. Where's the kingdom of heaven? Jesus said. It's within you. When Kenneth Hagin stepped over, and I perceived that he was on the inside of me, you know, it's one thing for somebody to be in your face. It's another thing for them to be in your face. When he stepped over into that realm, where did he step? Into the kingdom of God. Where's the kingdom? It's inside of you. Is that weird or what? That's bizarre. I'm sorry. But that's reality, and this is where we're going. The Spirit of the living God is calling you into this kingdom of light. You've been born into it. You're being initiated into it. This is where all things come from. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. Where do you think this glory comes from? It's coming from on the inside of you. Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, his clothes shined white as light. It came out of him, his pores just burst. Why did it come out of him? Because it was in him. What about Moses and Lot? Were they in him? I know, you can't wrap your head around this. You got to wrap your spirit around it because it's too weird otherwise. It's like the Trinity. How do you... Your head doesn't deal well with this, does it? But there is a kingdom. There is a spirit. It is a society of light. You're already a part of it. You've already been born into it. So we need to know these things if we're going to live there. And move there and have our being there. All right? Man. Glory be to God. Colossians 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has, everybody say has, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. He's already done it. Giving thanks to the Father, verse 12 again, who has made us meet. What is meet? It's old King James word. Means able. He's made you able to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in the light. What saints is he talking about? The ones who we assume are dead and they've gone on. He's telling us we can partake of this same inheritance we've been made able to. He made you able. Now, just because you're able, does it mean you do it? A child is able to get up in the morning and make pancakes if they knew how. They're able to, but sometimes they don't know how until you instruct them and then they know how. Understand? So as we're starting to learn how to be a partaker of this inheritance is what they're already living in. They're already living in it and they're wondering why you're not doing anything about it. You mean they look at us? Well, we'll get into that. You think you hiding in your own closet, nobody's seeing you. You know how many people are in that closet with you? Angels and everybody else. Oh, man, he's going to the closet again. Okay, everybody in. And they squish in there with you. It's like packed full of big angels. You think you're in there all by yourself, picking your nose or something. Goodness. You're never alone. You're never all by yourself. You are in this kingdom of light. You are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And boy, I can't wait to get to that scripture. I'll probably run over the pews. You're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Where was this cloud? I can't hold myself back. Where was this cloud? Who is this cloud? A cloud of witnesses. Jesus was in the cloud on the Mount of Transfiguration, and who was there in that cloud? Moses and Elijah, the saints, the partakers in the light. They're already there partaking in this glory in the light. You're made able to do this. Well, I don't believe I'm able. The Bible says you are, so you must be a liar. Because the Bible says you are able to partake of this inheritance that's in the light with the saints. Am I freaking you out yet? Freaking myself out. Woo. Hallelujah. Has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. We've been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. I'm telling you, we have no idea how far we can go with this. How far we can go. Philip was translated physically from one location to another. Where do you think arms grow out for people from? This kingdom in the light. What did God first say? We're talking about the end from the beginning. Enoch prophesied the end from the beginning. What did God's first word? What was it? Let there be light. And out of that light came the kingdom. He says, you're going back. We're going back to being light creatures and word workers. What did Adam do in the garden? He was a light creature, I'm telling you. What did he work with?
The word.
Words. This is all going to start sinking into you, and who knows, you might just scream and run out of the house. Hallelujah. Philippians 3:20. Once again, you know, I prayed about this last night. And I believe you're ready for this kind of stuff, okay? I could have gone, and I've been praying about, I've heard some things, you know, recently, people, you know, I feel like, you know, you get in a pastoral position, you want to instruct people. You want to correct people and guide them correctly. And yet, you know, this is just letting it fly, okay? But I think you're ready for it. I think it is better for you to be initiated and just have it all dumped on you, and then it can seep in what you can handle. Because you're hungry. You're not babies anymore. It's better to be exposed. You know why some people never spoke in tongues until 45 years later? It's because they were never exposed to it. And Jesus only took up 3 people with him up on that Mount of Transfiguration. There had to be a reason. Probably because the other ones couldn't handle it. Anyways. So I was praying about this, and this is just the... I keep getting this. Just keep going. Just keep going forward. Well, what if I lose everybody? Well, tough. Just keep going forwards. You know, we're running a race here, and people are either going to pick up the pace and get going or not. And I'm excited about it. There's a society coming. It's a secret society. Jesus said that. The disciples asked him, how are we going to know about this? And nobody else will know. He said, because I'm going to come in the person of the Holy Ghost, and he'll bear witness with you. And he'll teach you all things. And you can't see him with your physical eyes. You can't feel him with your physical hands. But you can see him in the spirit. These things are spiritually discerned. My goodness. Hallelujah. You ready for this one? Philippians 3:20. You there? For our conversation is in where? Well, the word conversation, it's one of those multifaceted words. It means many different things. But a regular conversation means the way you live, what you do, who you are. The deeper meaning of it is citizenship. It's where you're a citizen. Where is your citizenship? Well, I am a citizen of the United States of America. And that what? It gives you certain rights and privileges to be an American citizen. Paul, in one instance, he was happy that he was a Roman, born as a Roman, because he could say, hey, you can't whip me. He's about to be whipped. Scourged, they called it. And he said, I'm a Roman citizen. You can't do that. It affords you rights and privileges. You're a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. You are afforded rights and privileges. I'm going to quickly give you this illustration. You might have heard it before. There's a man in Africa. He was going down the roads there. I believe it was Africa. anyways, you'll get the idea. And there was just poverty and huts and stuff all around. It was just terrible. Even the cows were skinny. It was just was not good. Poverty everywhere. Kids and with no shoes on their feet and, you know. And then he comes around the corner and he sees this looks like a mansion in the middle of nowhere. The lawn is green. So they've got sprinklers going. And there's a big fence around it. And he says, this is absurd. How could somebody live like this in the midst of this poverty? What about these people? They're poor. They're hungry. They're naked. Uneducated. And here, these people have the audacity to live in this mansion with servants and food and just, it's ridiculous. Then he reads on the wall, it says, American Embassy. But let me ask you a question. Does this place represent the kingdom that it's in? Or is it representing the kingdom that it's from? It's representing the kingdom that it's from. It's not provided for by the shirts of the backs of the people that are there. It's been provided for by the country who established it there. And I'm sure they were helping people as much as possible. But you see the connection. They weren't living off of the land, which is your first perception of that would be, how could this, there's probably just oppressing these people and living off of them, when in reality, they were living off a completely different kingdom. What does that mean for me? That means you are to be living off a completely different kingdom. Where's your citizenship? You may be a sojourner in another country. You may be a sojourner here on earth. You are. I'm looking at you. Pretty sure. Would be really sure unless I go over and poke you. But you're here. Where is your citizenship? Where are you provided from? What kingdom are you living off of? The kingdom of heaven. Well, I know that when we get to heaven, we will have mansions and glory, brother. When you get to heaven, huh? Maybe so, but what about here and now? What are you going to do now? The Bible says you're able. You are able, whether you do it or not, you are able to be a partaker of the same inheritance that they're in the light. That would mean your mansion. You want some criticism, just go and buy the biggest house on the block. And then tell everybody I'm living off the kingdom of heaven, not your taxes. Well, we won't go any farther with that. Glory be to God forever. Verse 20 says, our conversation is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. Glory be to God forever. Where is your citizenship? I'm not making this up. You got to know this. It's your citizenship is in heaven. You are a partaker of the saints in light. You are in the light, whether you see it or not. If we could just strip our bodies off right now, we would see it. Remember the prophet, he said, Lord, open his eyes. And he saw angels, horses of fire on the mountains round about. He said, there's more of us than there are of them. What's your problem? He must have been living in that realm to know that. Didn't bother him. King sends his big army out to try to get you and knocks at your door. You're like, I'm not even getting the door. They don't know what they're talking about. He sends his servant to go get the door. And he tells him, go look. Who's outnumbered? They are. He knew who his citizenship was in heaven. Glory be to God. All right. Let's move right on here. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Glory be to God forever. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1. Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Wherefore, seeing, you've got to see it. You've got to know it. You are not by yourself. Don't you think that would make you fly straight? At those times of semi-indecision where you're wavering one way or another? If you knew you were in a room full of saints and angels and people compassing about you, this is the Word of God. I know, I realize people have a problem with this. This is the Bible. We are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. He just went on to tell you all the people of faith there. And then he says they're around you in a cloud. Jesus demonstrated that they were around him in a cloud. Who's sitting next to you? Move your books over or something. My goodness. You're no different. You know, people, well, that was Moses and Elijah, they were on a much higher plane than I. No. John the Baptist was the least, was the greatest in that kingdom, in that generation, where the least is greater than him in this kingdom. In the kingdom of God, that's you. You are greater than Moses and Elijah. Ooh, how could you say that? I didn't. The Bible did. You are able to do this. This is language people just, they read over this stuff. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses. Yes, we're compassed about. They don't even know. They are not even reading it. What does that mean? That means you are surrounded. Compassed about. A compass is round. Everybody take out your square compass. They don't exist. They're round. All right? Around you is what? Witnesses. People. 2 Corinthians 5:16. You guys are word people. Hallelujah. This word is coming alive to you, and you don't care when I say open up another scripture. You're like, yeah, bring it on, brother. Give me another one. This is where it's at. You receive healing from the word. Nobody's going to shake you off of it again. You receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost through the word. There's no shaking. The word doesn't shake. Everything else shakes. Everything else melts. Everything else will be removed, but his word stands forever. You stand on that solid ground. Glory be to God. Forget about everything else. 2 Corinthians 5:16. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. What? Know we no man after the flesh. What is he talking about? How do we know somebody if we don't know him after the flesh? Spiritually. We're spiritually discerning things in people. We're spirit beings now. I like to say it this way. Adam in the garden, what was the dominant person? We're spirit, soul, and body, right? You know this. You're a triune. Yeah, I hold up four fingers and say, you're a triune being. No. You're a triune being. That means three. Spirit, soul, and body. In the garden, Adam's what was the dominant ruling force in his triune being? It was his spirit man. His mind was in subjection to his spirit, and his body was in subjection to his spirit. Where do you think you're going to? What are you being initiated into? The subduing of every thought to the obedience of Christ? The subduing of your physical body to the obedience of Christ. When Jesus walked on the water, I just throw stuff out at you. You can just, you know, take it or leave it. When Jesus walked on the water, how did he do that?
Well, that was just special because he was the Son of God and he could walk on water anytime. He only did it a couple times. It was when he was in the Spirit. And it was after usually a night of prayer. Where do you think he was on that night of prayer? He was in the Spirit. Surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Oh, poor Jesus, he was all alone. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? The Son of God all alone. What a president of the United States. He'd have a really hard time trying to find some alone time. President of the United States goes in his closet and there's a security camera in there. Anybody who's famous, they live in a glass house. Son of God, don't you know that all eyes were on him in the Spirit? The guy who's got the ball.
They're playing a major play at the football game. Guys running the ball. People are chasing who? The guy with the ball. They're not chasing the cheerleader. Let's go get Rosetta. Let him get that touchdown. Where are all eyes? Eyes were on him. He was never alone. So when he was on that mountain, he was in that cloud of witnesses, and then he came down. He had his body, obviously. You're in that cloud. You're not concerned about your flesh. And he just walked on the water. His flesh was in subjection to his spirit man. You are partaker of this kingdom of light. You are a light being. That's what you are. God spoke out of himself, said, let there be light. I know this is deep. I hope you're enjoying it. Take what you can. Glory be to God. This is where we're going, you know, and we don't always know everything. Once again, you're making some fancy dessert. You got to press the dough out and you got to put all these ingredients in. You know, if you're a kid and you've never cooked before, you're like, that doesn't make any sense. That's going to taste good? Certainly doesn't look good now. But then at the end, whew, you got something. All right? These are all elements that are good. You're growing up. You're going to need to know how to function like this. You're a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. You become a new creature. Why did God make a new creature if he's going to live the same way? What's the point? And all things are of God. You're a new creature. And all things are of God. Talk about change. My goodness. No wonder it took Enoch 300 years. Wish I had 300 years at this point. We don't need it. We're being quickened to these things. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. 2 Corinthians 5:16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we, no man after the flesh. Yet though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Look at that. Paul said he doesn't know Christ anymore. Is he unsaved now? He was saved and then... He knows him, but not after the flesh. How are you going to know Jesus? How are you going to know the Holy Ghost? How are you going to know these things in the kingdom of heaven? Not after the flesh. People that are called up in the flesh, they're called what? Carnal. Carnal Christians. Everything's about the flesh. Man, you just go into your prayer closet. It's like you're in there for days and weeks and months and years. What did Moses went up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. They figured he was dead. He was just praying. He was just in the spirit. He went up into this kingdom of light. That's where he lived. You come out, you're shining. We know this, right? We know this is where we're heading. Shining, our faces shining with glory, the glory of the Lord on you, and people seeing it on you. Like I'm beating a dead rabbit here. You can see, this is where we're going. We are a society of light people. Glory be to God. And we speak God's word and his spirit manifest freely because that's all we say. God's words. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. From therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God. They're all of God. But from henceforth know we no man after the flesh. How am I going to know you, Rich? Not after the flesh. I can't really know you other than the Spirit. And we might go over to that scripture where he says, not what man knows the things of a man save the what? The Spirit of man in him. Even so, no, we don't know the things of God except by the Spirit of God. That's how you really know something. It's spiritual. And he says, we're not knowing any man. Well, what I want to present to you today is you have men that you need to know. The Holy Ghost, number one. He's the one that's orchestrating everything in your life right now. He is God in the earth today. you need to know him, and you don't know him after the flesh. If you're trying to know him after the flesh, you're just carnal. You're going to know him after the spirit. Seems like you need to know something about your spirit. What if you didn't know anything about your hand and just did weird things all the time? Stand in line at the movie theater and whack, whack. I don't know anything about it. It's part of you. You don't know anything about it. People are like that. They don't know they are a spirit. They don't know they have a spirit. They make up doctrines that say they aren't even spiritual. They're just a body and a soul. How far do you think they're going to get with the Holy Ghost? Not very far. He's saying you got to know someone after the Spirit. Praying in tongues is huge in this area. It trains you and develops you to know this man, this a person of the Holy Spirit. You get to know him in the Spirit. This kingdom of light. Where does he live? He lives in this kingdom of light. Okay, I keep running down the same rabbit trail here. Let's continue forward. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. John 4:24. Well, I've heard John 4:24 before. Well, too bad. You're going to hear it again. I'm just going to say it like it is. You ready? Glory be to God forever. Hallelujah. John 4:24. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in the flesh and in the natural. You like that one, huh? That's a good one. No, they worship him where? In the spirit. Where are you going to know God? It's in the spirit. Where are you going to know this inheritance that's in the spirit? I mean, this should be common sense, but it isn't always. You're going to have to spiritually access these riches and this inheritance for you and live in it. By faith. By faith, Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. But how can you have faith in something that you don't know about? How can you reach into the Spirit and pull out a leg that somebody needs unless you know where the legs are? How are you going to go to your cupboard and pull out something you're baking with unless you know where it is? I do that all the time. Where is it? Sharon says, oh, I hid it down behind the thing there. Like, well, why would you do that? But she knows where it is. She's not even in the same room. She can tell me where it is. She's familiar with the cupboards. Are you familiar with the spiritual cupboards and how to get in there and what to do and where you are? You're a partaker of the inheritance. Use it. Get in there. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Glory be to God. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in the spirit. Not in your head. Spiritual things. Glory be to God. Now flick that definition up there, Liv. Let's get right into this. Society. We know that, right? You're being initiated into a society. A kingdom of light. Where all the saints are right now. They're there. They know where the stuff is in the cupboard. And they wonder why you are not figuring it out. Why do you think you might not be figuring it out? Because of your carnality. It's what holds you back. Alright, society. A companionship or association with one's fellows, friendly or intimate. Society, number two, a voluntary association of individuals for common ends, especially an organized group working together or periodically meeting because of common interests, beliefs, or profession. Sounds like people getting together for this one purpose because they're of like mind. They're on the same path. What society are we talking about? The Holy Ghost Society, this great society that God is building and putting together of light beings. Are you a part of this society? You are, whether you are, whether you think you are or not. You've already been introduced into it. And when you go through the final step, which is the baptism of death, you become really aware of this society. Yeah. Number three, society, an enduring and cooperating social group whose members have developed organized patterns. I got this right out of the dictionary, so I would have shortened it. Or relationships through interaction with one another. Relationships through interaction with one another. Stop right there. How do you build a relationship with the Holy Ghost? It's by interacting with Him. When you read your Bible, you're interacting with Him and you learn something about Him. When you pray in tongues for an hour. I always say that because I want people to pray in tongues for an hour. What are you doing? You're interacting with Him. You're learning about Him. You're starting to feel out the society, who you are, where you are, what your part is, what you're supposed to do. What other things can we do to interact with the Holy Ghost? Worship Him in spirit and in truth. Through worship, you're interacting with Him and you learn what He's doing, how He does things. He's a person. He loves that more than anything else. For you to interact with Him. Interaction with one another. Be a community, a nation. A broad grouping of people having common traditions. Institutions. People that are instituted into this.
You mean like an institution?
Maybe that's what they'll think. But you're not crazy. You're just in the kingdom of light. Glory be to God forever. Collective activities and interests. And four, a part of a community that is a unit distinguishable by particular aims or standards of living or conduct. A social circle or group of social circles having clearly marked identity. Move in polite society, literary society, Holy Ghost society. That one wasn't in the... I wrote it in there. And B, catch this one. A part of the community. Notice, a part. A part of the community. There's not everybody in the body of Christ is going to embrace this wonderful society of God that is here now. They're just unaware of it. And they prefer to be ignorantly bliss. Some people don't want to embrace the gospel of healing and the atonement because it makes them responsible to pray for the sick and believe they'll be healed. Well, do you believe this? You have to once you embrace it. That's why they would rather be ignorant of it. Don't tell me that. I'll just ignore that. A part of the community that sets itself apart as a leisure class and that regards itself as the arbiter of fashion and manners. Sets itself apart. You have to set yourself apart. You have to keep coming to the society meetings, brother. Because you're setting yourself apart to a common end, to be appointed to this one thing, which is to partake of the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Setting yourself apart to it. Apart from what? Apart from carnality. Apart from the things of the world. This is what God said. I call you out. I'm calling you out. Where is He calling you to? This kingdom of light. Where is your home? It's there. It's in there. Sets itself apart as a leisure class. And I might get into that next week. And that regards itself as an arbiter of fashion and manners. So once they've come into the society, they've embraced this society, they've learned how to hold themselves, conduct themselves as a proper member of society. They used to send women away to finishing school. So they'd sit up straight and hold their napkin right and sip cup with the tea with a pinky point out. I'm sure they learned other things, but it was so that they could function as a polite woman of society. Correct? Well, you're in school now, and you're going to learn how to function as a member of this society. How do they function? What do they say? We already know that. What do they say? These people that are in this society, what do they say? They say what God says. What do? They live holy. Holy lives. They're part of this society. What do they look like? They shine. Glory be to God. They're always happy and they're smiling. Even when you're yelling at them, we can't figure it out. You probably can't even stop if you wanted to. Fashion. Manners. Are you talking about fashion? Sharon be like, yeah, fashion. We're the fashionable society. Well, hang with me here. Think about this. Glory be to God. Where's my note? There it is. Luke 9:29. This is going to blow your socks right off. If you have socks on, it is going to blow them off. So prepare yourself. Luke 9:29. Hallelujah. Are you there? Let me read before that. Let me read 28. And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to what? Pray. To pray. Why does he keep praying? My goodness. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered and his raiment was white and glistening. Now, you can't be talking about fashion because they would be talking about clothes and stuff in the same scripture. Did you read this? The fashion of his countenance was changed and his clothes shined white and glistening like the light. I'm not making this up, am I? Does your Bible say that? The fashion of his countenance was changed. Are you going to be an arbiter of fashion and manners? Yes, you are. Well, I don't want the glory on me. What will people think? Too bad what people think. The glory is going to be on you and around you, and you will be surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, and you go into a restaurant, they better have many booths available. Because it's not you, it's you and your posse. We're coming in, we're taking over. Well, I don't like that language. Well, tough once again. This is the way it is. This is not baby Christianity. This is you in the kingdom of light living on this earth. Occupying the place that you're supposed to be in the society of the Holy Ghost. Well, I've never thought like that before. Good. It's about time. Come up with your mind. Come up out of the shallowness of just carnality and step into the kingdom of light. It's and swim around a little bit. It's nice. Come on in. The water's fine. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord too. Hallelujah. All right, that wasn't enough for you. Okay. Mark 2. The fashion of his countenance was changed. Mark chapter 2. Verse 12. This society, they set themselves apart as an arbiter or someone who carries forth and expresses certain manners, customs, ways of dressing, fashion, speech, the way they hold themselves, the way they go forth in society and business. And you go and buy a house and then you give it back to the person you bought it from for nothing. There they go. Free of charge. That's weird. But people in society do it. What society? The Holy Ghost society. What do they need another house for? Got the biggest house you need. It comes right out of that same kingdom. Jesus is Lord. Well, I never heard anything like that before. Well, just get ready for this one then. 2:12. Mark 2, verse 12. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. And immediately he rose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. We never saw it on this fashion. Here's a crippled man, crippled from birth, And he leapt up and walked, and they were all astounded and amazed, and they said, we've never seen it on this fashion. What fashion are we supposed to be fashioning ourselves after? Jesus. We're supposed to be doing the same thing. This is our fashion. We look like him, talk like him, act like him, do miracles like him, walk on water like him, raise the dead like him. Or a bunch of Jesuses walking around. That's the fashion show. Thank you. That's the fashion show. And it is who? This kingdom of light people. People that are living in the kingdom of light. They do this stuff. Hallelujah. Got a little bit of time here for a couple more here. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 5. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Verse 5, chapter 6, Hebrews. And having tasted the power, and having tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Having tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Are your tastes refined to the word of God? Society members are. They taste something, they go, oh yeah, that was good. They hear something and their ears are tuned into it. This is specifically talking about tasting something. Do you know your spirit has a tongue? You can taste. Jesus said, I eat food you don't even know about. Why is he talking in this language? Spiritual food. You've tasted the powers of the world to come. You've tasted the word of God and what? The powers of what world? This world? You mean nuclear energy and electricity and thermoconductivity? You're tasting and you're operating and you know the powers of the world to come. Who does? Society members. They hang out together. They talk about these things. They're living in this world that seems not, but it is. I hope that you are getting hungry for this and you're going to continue to press in until you, you know, God spoke to me the other night. He said, I want you to keep going till you cross the threshold. But he said, just keep going till you cross the threshold. Well, guess what I'm going to try to do? Keep going until we cross the threshold. That's where this body is going. We're going to step over in and we're going to be arbiters of fashion and manners. Doesn't that sound nice? What kind of fashion and manners? Get the pinky out. Holy Ghost fashion. Holy Ghost manners. Julie was talking about it today. God's instructing her. We're learning. We're growing. We are in this society. We are in this citizenship, this is where we live. This is who we are. We must live like this. We must walk like this or we are doing a disservice to our homeland. Man, I was listening in on that meeting. Sounds like they're forming a militia down there or something. No, it's a secret society. Hallelujah. And we do have weapons of warfare that are not carnal, but they're what? Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What does a society member use? Those things. Yes, words. They use those weapons that are not carnal. Jesus was going to be thrown off a cliff. Thrown off a cliff. They physically had him in their hands. Going to throw him off the cliff for preaching under the anointing, obviously. They didn't like it. The words coming out of that society members really bugged them. So they were going to throw him off the cliff, and right as they're about ready to throw him off, the Bible says, he turned around and walked through their midst and left and went on his way. What, they just forget who they were going to throw off? What, they throw some other guy off? Looked like Jesus? What kingdom was he operating in? Where was he living out of? He said, I could call many legions of angels down and take me off this cross if I wanted to. They're all standing there watching him. He had the ball. They would have done it at any given moment. But he opened not his mouth. Hallelujah. To fulfill what? The word of God. A society member wouldn't have said anything else at that time because he knew the word. You are a society member. I love this stuff. Glory be to God forever. Hallelujah. Let's go. Let's do at least one more here. Because I want to get you up into next week, which is even better. All right, 1 Corinthians 2:14. Hallelujah. You got just a couple more minutes here. You are being changed right now, whether you know it or not. These words are going into you, and you're never going to be the same. Just plain never. Glory be to God forever. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things. Okay, well, how are these things in the society, how are you going to know them? The Bible says they're spiritually discerned. The Amplified, I like the Amplified here, says they're spiritually discerned, appreciated, and estimated. You see them for what they are. Where? In the Spirit. You see the posse that's around you. You know the power you have. You're experiencing the powers of the world to come. This is how you live. This is how you talk. This is how you conduct yourself. You are a superior being. Ouch, you know? Please don't listen in on these services and take little bits out. We got a secret society of superior beings, and they have weapons. And it's all scriptural. This is you. I hope you're happy. I hope you know some people don't understand what they're going to be a part of. They don't know that if I receive Christ, I can come into this type of living. They see the carnality of Christians and they go, why would I want to live like that? Walk around in a testimony. Spiritually discerned, estimated, and appreciated. That is the Amplified. You estimate them. And you appreciate them. How do you appreciate? Now, a society member, right? They appreciate fine food. I probably don't. Right now, I want to eat just big bowls of whatever you got. As long as it looks sort of like food. But a society member, you ever go to those fancy restaurants and you order something that's like $900 and it comes out on this fancy plate and it's like two specks of something, very colorful, very pretty, up close, but you look back from it and it looks like nothing on your plate. You're like, what am I paying for? You're paying for Frederick out in the kitchen to arrange your food in a special way. Glory to God. But society members appreciate it. The Holy Ghost could blow in here. Whoosh, whoosh. Yeah. The carnal people would be like, if I left the window open. What's going on? Goodness. I'm not coming here no more. I got drafty church. They missed it. But a society member appreciates the fine details of the presence of the Holy Ghost and His Word and His glory and all of these things. They're wonderful. They're so wonderful they're even hard to describe. But we can learn how to describe them because this is our kingdom. This is where we live. This is who we are. Let's advance here. Hallelujah. Let's be people that, you know, when at the end of time, when all the books are pulled out, we're up front going, yeah. We figured it out. We're here. My posse's with me. Not, oh, wow, look at this. Ooh, how'd that happen? How'd I get here? All right. Let's go full circle here. Back to Genesis 5:21, and I will finish with this. Genesis 5:21. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, begat sons and daughters. All the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God. He walked with God before it told how long he lived, and he walked with God after. He was walking with God the whole time. And he was not, for God took him. The word took means, it means accepted, embraced, and took him. This is where we're going. We want our society, our manners. What? They don't even let somebody into a fancy state dinner unless they know how to do what they're supposed to do. Most of us will be checked at the door like, hey, you got like something on your chin there. What is that? You want to be up there at the fancy state dinner? You're going to have to know how to behave yourself. Number one, with your words. Fashion and manners of the kingdom of heaven. Walking with God. You think God walked with a slouch? I don't think so. Enoch walked with God. It didn't say the other way. It didn't say God walked with Enoch. It said Enoch hung himself to the point of walking with God. That's what we're learning to do. That's where we're going. We're learning to walk with God. We're learning to be proper society members of the Holy Ghost. It's His society. It's His kingdom. And we're figuring it out. We're growing. Be encouraged, people. You've come a long way. You really have. We just need to realize what we have. Spirit of God moving. That's another way. Prophesying. Speaking tongues. Interpretation. These are all ways of knowing Him. We put them all together. Proper society members have speaking in tongues and interpretation, don't they? They have prophecies. They have healings. They have deliverances. They have all this. This is just the way it is. This is regular Christianity, regular society meeting. You going to the society meeting? Yes. Why? Because I'm an integral part of that society. And my posse is there. We're going to hang out. Do our secret handshake. The Holy Ghost handshake. Yes. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Okay. You ready for one more? I know you want to go, but this will lead into next week, so hang on. I'll do it real quick. Hebrews 4:10. We know that this is work, right? Do you know that? I hope I'm not, telling you that this is just a cakewalk here. This is work. This is something you're going to have to apply yourself to, choke yourself, throttle yourself, do whatever it takes to get in there and stay. Understand that. Hebrews 4:10. Well, look at 9. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God, for he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Verse 11, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. There is a rest for the people of God. He that enters in ceases from his own works. And this is where we're going. What works are you going to work now? As a society member, you're going to be working the Word of God. You're going to be working the kingdom of God. You're going to be working the works of God. Jesus, how can we do the works of God? You remember anybody saying that? He that believes on me. This is where we're going. Doing the works of God, living in these things, entering into that rest. What is the best form of rest? Is death, my friends. And when people say that, well, I'll rest when I'm dead. Yes, you will. So when you go through that baptism of death, you are entering into His rest, and His works will then be your works. His manners will be your manners. His fashion will be your fashion. His ways will be your ways. And you will be a proper society member. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for helping us today. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for helping these people. Father, don't let them get away. Put this into them. Change them. Let them see themselves like never before and begin to reveal to them that kingdom that surrounds them continually. They are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Begin to reveal to them the great authority and power available to them in this wonderful inheritance. Father, let us walk in it like never before. See it, know it, and please you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory be to God forever. Hallelujah. Glory to God.